other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to LATalkRadio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Get ready for the most popular morning show anywhere on the internet. You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Mia right here on LA Talk Radio. If you'd like to take part in the show today, give us a call at 323-203-0815. And now your program hosts, Sam and Mia.
Good morning and welcome to Tuesday. It's August 13. We're back with you, as always.
This
is the best friggin' fucking show on the internet, man. We're number 8 on Talkers Magazine. Come on, you know, we're not playing around here.
Oh, my. Sam is high on life today. Let
yeah,
him go.
There you go. You know, I need the respect I deserve.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so how are you doing today?
I'm okay. I'm kind of in pain. And it's like one of those
really?
Situations where I don't really know why. Like,
yeah.
I don't know what I stepped on. But, like,
oh,
I was working
foot?
On it for, like, almost 2 hours last night
mm-hmm.
on my heel. Like, I want to think it's, like, a sliver. But I've been trying to get at it. But, like, it hurts so bad. Like, I'm
really?
Literally limping because I cannot put, like, any pressure on my heel.
Really? You think you stepped on something?
Yeah. I don't know if it's maybe, like, a piece of glass or something. Like,
wow.
I don't know what it is. But I've been, like...
There's no mark or anything. So,
no, I mean, there is. I feel like it might be a sliver. I
oh,
just
really?
Had, like, the tweezers and everything, but I can't get it out. Like, I don't understand. I was literally working on it for, like, 2 hours last
wow.
night. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, time to go see a doctor. They'll find
no,
it for you.
No, I want to do it. Because then, see, I know, like when the pain is coming. You know what
uh-huh.
I mean? If I go to a doctor, I'll just be sitting there like, ow, oh, my God, it hurts so bad. Oh, my God. But, like, if I'm doing it, like,
yeah.
I don't know. For some reason, it doesn't hurt as bad when I...
Yeah.
Inflict pain on myself. But if I'm at a doctor, like the littlest thing, I'll like
yeah,
freak out.
You know what to expect it, right?
Yeah, because I know he's just going to like, oh, like go in there and like,
mm-hmm.
No.
This reminds me of the dentist. You know, I went to the dentist last week. We were talking about this. And so this is a new dentist, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he pulls out this thing that like feels like a vibrator. And he goes, it's going to vibrate in your mouth. I've never seen anything like this before. It kind of looks like an electric toothbrush or something.
Okay.
So he puts it in there. I didn't know what it's for. Suddenly I feel the needle going into my mouth. But so I figured out what it is. It distracts you from the pain. It distracts you from the needle, you know?
Oh.
And because I bet you that's the only reason he's doing this. I should have asked him, but I will next time.
Yeah.
But I'll bet you that's why they do this. You know, I've never seen it before.
Huh.
But it's kind of like you don't expect the needle and suddenly, bam, it goes in there and it's not as bad, you know?
Oh, that's interesting.
Yes.
Even like the Novocaine needle.
Yeah,
like that they
yeah,
need to
exactly.
numb part of your mouth. Oh,
yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I wish they would do that with me. Like, that is like my biggest fear. Like,
it
before,
is
like,
for everyone.
Any kind of
yeah.
like surgery, like when I got like my wisdom teeth taken
mm-hmm.
out and stuff. So funny because, you know, first of all, like I didn't really need to have it done. They were still impacted underneath the bone. But my mom is like, you should have it done before you move out to Los Angeles so you don't have to worry about it there because it's a big, you know, recovery.
Right.
And, yeah, so I'm like, all right, fine, you know, I'll get it done. But mm-hmm. it was, you know, it was a full-out surgery, so they had to put me, you know, they had to put me out with, like, the
wow.
full, like,
yeah.
IV needle with the anesthetics.
Wow.
And, yeah, so before that, you know, like, that's what I was afraid of. I wasn't afraid of getting my wisdom teeth yanked out underneath a bone. I was afraid of the needle
yeah.
that I had to get first to put me to sleep.
Right.
Oh, yeah. That's, like, my biggest fear ever is
yeah.
needles. I hate it. I can't even. It's not like it even hurts. That's
yeah.
what I don't understand. But I freak out, right?
Right.
So they have the, they're putting me under with, like the nitrous oxide, right?
Right.
Is that it?
Uh-huh.
So they're like, okay, breathe deeply. And I was just resisting so hard. Like, I was, like, so fidgety. And they're, like, trying to, like, ask me questions and calm me down. And they had to keep turning it up, you know, more and more. Like, let's give her a little more. And I was like, nope, I'm not falling asleep. I'm not doing this. I don't want to do this. I was being such a little brat.
Right.
But, yeah, then finally, like, okay, we're going to, you know, give you the IV now. And I'm like, no. No, you're not. I can still feel everything. I'm wide awake. You're not doing this to me.
Yeah.
And then finally they just did. And then, like, I was out. But, yeah.
But with the nitrous oxide thing, it doesn't put you to sleep. I mean, you just you're aware of what's going on.
It just numbs you, so you don't feel the pain.
Well, you feel kind of high, too, you know? I mean, but it's... You're aware of what's going on, but you don't really care, you know?
Yeah. See, with me, what they've done when I, you know, because I remember, like, I'd never had a cavity in my entire life.
Really?
Up until, like, kind of recently. And I don't know if it, because I needed a new dentist. This was, like, the one back home. Uh-huh. And I kind of have a feeling it's, like, one of those situations where they're just, like, telling me I have all these issues, but I really don't. Because I'm like, how was I just here 6 months ago? And the other doctor was like, wow. You have, like, amazing teeth. You do a great job brushing, blah, blah, blah. There's no issues. Awesome. You know, and then I come back, like, 6 months later, and she's, like, a different doctor. And she's, like, oh, yeah, you have, like, three cavities, blah, blah, blah. I'm, like, no, I don't. Like, I don't get cavities ever. So, anyway, yeah, she had to do
The x-rays and show you?
Well, there wasn't really much they can show me. Like, I don't know. Either way, I'm going to get a dentist out here, so I don't have to worry about that. But when they did the, you know, they had to give me the needle, you know, to numb it. And I was, like, freaking out. But I think they just did, like, a little, like, cold numbing thing. But that vibrating thing sounds pretty cool. If you didn't feel it at all, then that's...
Well, I did feel it, but I wasn't expecting it. That's the point, you know?
Oh,
okay. So it just kind of goes in there, that's it, you know?
Yeah,
kind of surprised. But I think it relaxes your cheeks or something.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you see my complexion right now? Am I super pale? Do I look like I'm about to pass out?
Okay, so let's not talk about that anymore.
That's where we're going down this road right now. I shouldn't have even brought this up. I'm such a baby. I'm so squeamish. I get so, like,
you seem to be enjoying talking about this. That's why.
Oh my gosh. I'm, like, fanning myself, like, where's my water?
All right, let's change topic.
It's going down.
Did you hear that this boy was infected with a rare brain-eating amoeba?
No.
Yeah. Is that going to make you faint, too? Then I'll change the story.
Yeah, I know, right? Like, oh, man, here we go with all this medical talk.
I know.
It's going down.
Fuck it. Who cares?
No. Oh, my gosh, that's so sad.
Yeah.
So what are they? Can they do anything for him? Or?
No, I don't think so. You know, I don't really care. I just wanted to change the topic so you don't get sick.
Well, you know, I care. I'm gonna start a charity for that kid now. I'm gonna research it and start a charity because I care so much.
Oh well.
Yes.
That's cool.
Right, because it's like a new, you know, a new finding. Nobody has any.
Yeah.
You know.
Apparently there was a girl that had this last month or something, but. Yeah, he was like out in a pit with water or something. You know, maybe that's where he got it.
Oh.
But yeah, you gotta be careful with this shit.
Oh man.
Yeah. Anyway, we have a very special guest in the studio that I've been waiting a long time for to show up on the show, and she's finally here. Her name is Rachel Butera. Welcome to the show, Rachel.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Sure. You can pull the mic towards you if you want, if it's easier for you. If you don't, you don't have to.
Okay. It's going to make me louder. There we go.
Yeah, there you go.
Sound better?
Good? Definitely.
Good.
So, I was telling you, I saw Rachel on TV. She was on Howard Stern a few months ago, right?
What did you see? The impression contest?
Yeah, not a contest. You were there on your own, and you did all kinds of impressions.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Do you remember that?
I don't have Howard TV, so I don't even know that.
But how many times were you on the show? Twice?
I've been on in person 4 or 5 times.
Wow!
Now. Yeah.
So they love you there, huh?
Yeah, it's kind of nice.
Wow! How cool, man! So you're a comic, right? You're a comedian.
Yes, I do stand up and sketch comedy. Yeah.
Wow. So we'll get to all that in a minute. I wanted to ask you a little bit of your background and everything.
Sure.
So are you originally from L.A.?
No, I'm from New Jersey.
Really?
Yeah, grew up in New Jersey. So just moved here 2 years ago this month.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Newbie.
Yeah, totally. I'm telling you. Where in Jersey did you grow up?
I grew up in Bloomfield, and I lived in Montclair before I moved here. So I don't know if you know New Jersey, but it's just about 20 minutes outside New York City. So I grew up close to New York.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Nice. Did you have a nice childhood there?
It was a nice suburban town. Yeah, I had a good time. My family's a little crazy, like everyone's. So it made me start doing all these voices and stuff, I'm sure. But I can't really say it was a horrible childhood. Yeah, we had a good time. Had a nice backyard, a pool, and trees and everything.
Right. Yeah.
It was good.
Yeah. So you mentioned the voices, and this is your specialty pretty much. You do voices, you do impressions.
Yeah.
And all that stuff. So we'll get to that. I mean, I'm dying to hear some of the stuff you're doing. Yeah, do a little Rosie O'Donnell for us.
Very nice to meet you. We've been trying to get together for so long now, Sam. You and I have been planning this since, what, May?
Yes,
May, right? And now I'm finally here in the studio looking at palm trees outside in U.S. Bank. Look at that.
Man, you're fucking good.
That's awesome.
Thank
you.
Yeah, and you got the accent to match, right? I mean, that's a very New York accent that Rosie
has,
right?
Yeah, she's. I think she's Brooklyn. I think she was born.
Yeah, that's what she sounds like.
Yeah, and she's got a really. She's really got that thick accent. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting is, you know how long ago, before she ever made it, I used to see her on VH1.
Yeah.
There was a show called Comic Showcase, something like Comedy Showcase, something like that. And she was like the MC. Mm-hmm. They would do it at the Ice House. And it was on like all the time. And that's where I got to meet her. And you never knew she was going to make it this big. You
right,
know what
yeah.
I mean? Yeah, she was just a nobody.
I know. You never know.
Yeah, so you never know. And then one day she's like this huge thing. And I'm going, wow, you know. So
yeah.
You can't start in comedy and really make it big. Huh?
Oh, definitely. I mean, her and Rose. I remember watching Roseanne do stand up as well when she would do "I'm a domestic goddess." You know, she was like, "I'm in the shopping cart, like, and all skinny girls." And then I would watch her and be like, "Wow, she's like, she's really different." And
right.
Look, she became huge.
That's true.
And
That's true.
You know, she's a great comedian. She's a really funny woman. So she definitely deserved it.
That's true. And a lot of people that are famous today came from comedy clubs, you know, like Jay Leno and all these people, you know.
Yeah.
So
it's becoming more prevalent too now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're a comedian, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll get to that. I'm like all over the place. Let's get back to your family.
So New Jersey.
Yeah, New Jersey. Do you have any siblings?
New Jersey. Yeah, I have a sister that I don't talk to and a brother that I'm currently not talking to.
Oh, my God.
And a mother who's not talking to me right now.
Really?
Oh,
what
yeah,
a great,
it's great
family,
it's
man.
A great family, man.
Oh, you weren't kidding.
I tell you, I'm never lacking for material, that's for sure.
Awesome dynamics you got there. Huh?
Well, they heard me do. I hosted a show called The Worst Family Ever. It's just a storytelling show where you get up and you talk about your family in a funny kind of way.
Uh-huh.
So I did that, and I put it up on YouTube after it was done because I was pretty proud of it because I thought it came out, you know, good. And they saw it and they got pissed at me and they started texting me and calling me and telling me they were going to sue me and telling me to take it down. So now,
really?
Now nobody's talking to nobody.
Wow.
Yeah. It's kind of a nightmare, but
Has it always been like that?
Yeah. You know, my father died when I was 22. He was sick all my life. And so it was a lot of like anxiety and turmoil in my family. So after he died, it got horrible.
Really?
And we would all go, you know, on and off, not talking to each other, fist fights and all, it's just a mess.
Really?
Yeah, it's a lot of dysfunction.
Oh, so he was kind of keeping the family cohesive while he was
He kept everything together.
Right.
The
right.
minute he went, my mother, like, she just, like, laid down on the floor, gave up. My brother went nuts. My sister.
Wow.
Yeah, it was just crazy.
Wow.
I'm crazy, too. I mean, we're all nuts.
How did it affect you? I mean, how?
I don't know. I think I'm really cold to my family. Like, I am super warm. Like, everyone loves me. Like, I have so
except
many friends. Except my family fucking hates me. Everybody out here like, oh, Rachel, you're so great. And, like, I just can't. I can't communicate with my I can't show love to my family because I think I just have all this resentment built up from, like, the years. And, like, my mother, she stopped taking care of me once he died. So, I don't know. So, I think, you know, it just made me shut down in a lot of ways and put up a lot of defenses and stuff. And I have daddy issues. I'm always looking for a guy to, you know, sort of fill that hole that my father never could. Not in that way. But you know what I mean.
Not that hole. Okay.
Not at all. I mean, That hole does need to be filled, but not in a daddy way.
Yeah. Wow. So this is pretty. I mean, so you had a shitty childhood, actually.
It's so hard to explain, because it's like we had everything. Like, we had big Christmases, and we had family dinners together, and we had lots of relatives coming over. But in between that was this fear and anxiety that my father was going to be dead every morning.
Oh, wow.
So it was always bubbling under the surface, and it was like every time I turned the corner to come home from being out, I'd be like, is there going to be an ambulance there? Is he going to be dead? Like, so he was in and out of the hospital my whole life. And and so my mother was just a nervous wreck. She couldn't really work. And so, I mean, they loved me. There was love. They were just very negative.
Right.
So, so you know, it's hard to explain.
Yeah. No, I get it. I get it. You know, a lot of families are... it's pretty difficult, you know. People don't get along and stuff. In my family, we really never fight or anything, you know. But I don't know. Maybe we don't have reasons to fight.
You just sweep it under the car. I mean,
it's always the circumstances, you know. I mean, if you had a father that was sick all the time, then it explains it. You know, everybody freaks out. Everybody's
It affects everybody in such a way that you can't even imagine. I mean, just into the far depths of your personality it goes, because you're living with fear every day that your father's going to be dead. And so, and then once he goes, there's a relief.
Right.
Then there's a guilt, and then there's a whole new set of things to deal with.
That's true. Yeah. So you left the house after that, or
no? I was 22. I was still living at home, and then he died, and then so my mother moved to Florida with my sister. I stayed in the house and rented it with some girlfriends. Mm. She came back and sold it because she had to sell it. Then I moved into a one bedroom apartment with my mother, which was the worst 3 years of my life.
Wow.
It was like her laying on the floor watching Law and Order, popping Xanax, smoking cigarettes all day, and me locked in my bedroom masturbating. Like that, it was.
Wow.
It was.
What a great life.
It was horrible. And I thought that this is it. This is my fate. I'm going to die like this.
Wow.
And it was just so bad.
Yeah. Did you start masturbating early in your life?
Yeah, I did. Like, I used to steal my brother's porn. Wasn't it glorious when you used to have to steal your father's or your brother's porn? Like, now you can just, now you skip from one to the next on the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to, like, lock myself in my brother's room before he got home from school when I was, like, 10 and watch all his VHS tapes.
Wow.
Yeah. Somebody probably touched me inappropriately when I was a baby. I'm sure that must have happened.
Not necessarily. I mean, people just grow up horny, you know? I mean...
They grow up horny?
That's what it is. Yeah. I mean, look at me, for example. Nobody ever touched me, you know. But
you're a man, though. Your parts are on the outside. Like, if I had parts on the outside, like, if I had a dick, I'd never stop touching it.
You think so?
Yeah, oh, my God.
But men say that about tits, you know. And
I never stop touching my tits. Mia, when you're laying in bed at night, like, you sleep topless, you sleep naked.
Actually,
like I do.
We had this conversation yesterday.
My hands are always on my tits.
We were tanning topless.
Yeah. So. And when you lay in bed, don't you just randomly feel your tits? I mean, I do all the time.
In the summertime, I do sleep naked, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, that's funny.
Tits are the greatest thing on earth. Why would you not want to touch them constantly?
Yeah, there's a guy that told me that once. Like, oh, man, like, I wish... sometimes that I could just have tits like yours just to play with them because they'd just be so much fun.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, wait, so you're the same way about a penis.
And you wish you had tits. Like, they're just so much fun. I'm like, okay. It's kind of an interesting thing to tell a female, but I'll nod my head and giggle as if you're like some foreign that I can't understand. Like, okay.
I just looked at your boobs. I'm sorry. They're out. You're like me. You keep them out. I'm fine. Are those real?
Yeah.
Well, they look real.
They look real.
You know. But
I want to know what's going on with you two. This is a mismatch of the highest order. How the hell did you two wind up together? You got Sam, who's like, what? You're like,
75.
But he looks like he's 50. Mia looks like she's 22. Her boobs are hanging out. What's going on here?
You hit on the ages just right.
Oh, man.
You
know? Yeah, 23.
But no, that's the point. You know, you put people from two different backgrounds completely, and it works, you know?
Yeah.
That's the cool thing about it. So back to your tits. No, I'm kidding.
That reminds me of, an Anchorman, you know, and when they do the thing on the teleprompter, they try to screw her up.
Oh, yeah.
And she goes, Tits McGee is on vacation, but I'm, Veronica Corningstone. He goes, I'm Tits. I'm Ron Burgundy.
Scotch.
Well, that sounds funny. I've never seen that movie.
What?
Got to see that. Sound.
You have to. Because the second one's coming out.
I'm not crazy about Will Ferrell, but if you say it's funny, I'll
It's iconic. The second one's coming out. I can't wait. I cannot wait. I'm obsessed.
Wow. So, anyways, all right. So back to Rachel. So, so you lived in the same one bedroom apartment with your mom.
Yeah, and then I started dating a guy from Jersey, and I decided to move to New York City.
Cool.
I always wanted to live there, so I just up and moved, left my mother, moved to New York. The day I moved out, my brother moved in with my mother because his wife divorced him.
Really?
There's nothing but shit in my family. And then when my brother moved out, my sister moved in. Nobody could live without my mother.
Yeah, there you go.
Except me. Wow. So I moved to New York.
So you moved to New York. Did you like it there?
No, I hated living there. I liked going there and partying there, but I hated living there. I hated the subways. I hated the cockroaches. I just hated it.
Really?
Had a nervous breakdown while I was living in New York.
Really?
Yeah, I started having panic attacks. I was agoraphobic. I couldn't leave the house.
Wow.
I moved back to New Jersey.
Oh, wow.
And then I lived with my boyfriend for a few years. Everything was fine. Then I left him. I moved out. And then the Howard Stern contest happened.
Right. So when you... Well, I forgot the question. Never mind.
Sorry.
Because you got quickly to Howard Stern.
I'm babbling.
No,
there was
that's
a lot
fine.
Of misery before Howard Stern. I was working in corporate America as a writer.
Right.
I worked for a medical company. And
yeah. That's what I was wondering because, you know, you live in New York. It's very hard. I mean, had you had this before you moved to New York? Like that kind of like agoraphobia and things like
no,
that?
No.
You never had that before.
It developed
before.
When I moved to New York. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
I think
it was overwhelming.
It was overwhelming. Yeah. I was never away from my mother before, really, or New Jersey. I was alone. I really had no friends. I moved in with a roommate I didn't know. My boyfriend lived back in North Jersey, pretty far away.
Mm-hmm.
And my aunt, who I was very close to, just died. So my father died. Then my aunt died. I was alone.
Wow.
I had a job in writing porn that I didn't really like.
Really?
And it just fucked me up.
Yeah.
And
why didn't you like that? I mean,
it sounds great, right?
Yeah,
it sounds like the greatest job ever, porn writing. And when I mm-hmm. met the person who, you know, I started doing it through, I was like, this is going to be the best thing ever because I love porn.
Right.
And it was an office run by a Jamaican woman named Sandy Vassiani. She was Jamaican. She was like, Rachel, I need you to use better words for pussy, okay? You keep saying pussy, pussy, pussy. You need to use cunt. Or you need to use vagina. You need to change it up a bit, okay? Thank you, baby. And we ate fucking great Jamaican food every day for lunch. But the office was so depressed. It was like a bunch of guys, like one who had all these pills in front of him, like vitamins and stuff.
Oh,
he was like a manic depressive. One who was just an angry, like smart writer, but somehow he got a job in porn. It was like this miserable office, like gloomy. Everyone hated it.
Man.
It was so depressing.
Wow.
And then just naked pictures of girls everywhere. But there was nothing fun about it.
They wouldn't let you do it at home or something?
Sometimes I did it from home.
Yeah.
But it was because it just was becoming like I couldn't get on the subway. I couldn't leave the house. And when I came back to New Jersey, I was afraid to drive.
Oh, wow.
I was missing job interviews. I was like, this is it. I'm going to be just like my mother.
Wow.
Yeah, it
how
was
scary,
bad.
Huh?
It was bad.
Yeah. Did you go for treatment or anything?
You know what I did? There was there was an infomercial on late at night called the Northwest Center for Anxiety and Depression. And it was like this seven CD box. Box set of like self-help to get over it. I fucking bought it. It was $700. I listened to every tape. I did everything they said, and it worked.
Really?
It actually worked. But I think it worked because I really wanted it to work. You know, they say you can only do something if you want to. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like I practiced everything, and it took about 5 years to finally be normal to where I didn't have panic attacks anymore.
Wow.
But I don't have any of that anymore.
Wow.
It's really amazing.
Well, maybe it's also because you're not in New York anymore.
Just the fact that I left New Jersey, got on a plane, and came here is kind of almost a miracle that I wasn't afraid to do that.
Yeah. So cool. So now, when you wrote porn, you wrote it for what? For a magazine?
I wrote it for Hot Chocolate Magazine. It's all black girl magazine. Shaved Orientals. And
Shaved Orientals.
Shaved Orientals. Asian Beauties and then one other Asian one.
Wow.
And then she published all this incest porn. You know those digests books? They're like little paperback.
Yeah.
You probably know. I don't even know if they make them anymore. But they were on the stands in New York.
Uh-huh.
They were incest books about incest.
Really?
Like a family. Yeah. Grandmothers and cousins. And it was so disgusting and
oh
disturbing.
God.
I was having dreams about my brother. Like,
really?
What? Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was horrible.
Oh my God.
So it was all that kind of stuff. And I interviewed porn stars and girls, like up and coming, like girls who wanted to get into it and stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is porn pretty big in New York too?
I think porn's big everywhere.
Oh really?
Don't you think?
No, I do. But as far as this consumption and there's the creation of it.
Oh, creation in New York? No, that's
no.
all. It's all out here.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's what I meant. So it was kind of unusual for you to be there writing about it.
For writing, well, New York is like the publishing center of the universe.
That's true.
So no matter what you
sense.
Publish, it's going to be in New York.
Really? Even the porn magazine?
Yeah. I mean, well, I don't even think there are. I don't even know if there are porn magazines anymore. But
there are, but you know, not as many, obviously. But.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know why that is. She inherited this this publishing company from her boss. Who,
oh, okay.
And then she just took it over. And yeah, I don't even know if she's doing it anymore. I don't even know if anybody actually buys tangible magazines of porn anymore.
That's true. That's true. So do you so you don't put that on your resume when you get a job?
I no longer have no, my resume is all entertainment related now.
Yeah, there you go.
it's switched over, yeah.
Yeah.
No porn. But I'll tell anybody about it.
Yeah,
well,
there
I don't
you
hide
go,
it.
You know.
It's in my comedy.
So you started liking porn early on in your life?
Yeah, I was.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's because. Well, I mean, my brother had
10 years old, huh? And you were looking at porn. That would fuck you up.
Well, you know what? I used to, and like. Well, it's so funny because I was like so sexual in my mind, but then when I got to school and started becoming a teenager, like I was afraid of it. Like
right.
I never really wanted to have intercourse. And so when I finally got a boyfriend at 16, like, of course, that's all he wanted to do. And I was like, no.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not doing that. No way. Like, I would do everything but intercourse with him.
Really?
Everything except intercourse. And then he finally, like, forced me into it. He didn't rape me, but he just, like, begged me for 4 hours until I finally gave in. It was horrible. It was, like, in his bedroom on his Star Wars sheets. And his father and mother were, like, making fucking tamales in the kitchen right next door because they were Mexican and Colombian. And yeah, it was just awful. And then we wound up dating for 4 more years, and I never had sex with him again.
Really?
Never had intercourse with him again.
Wow, and he didn't mind it?
Oh, he minded it.
Wow, he stayed with you.
He stayed with me. We cheated. We're teenagers. Yeah. We're cheating on each other.
So you were just disappointed, and you thought it'd always be bad?
After that, I was like, oh, my God, it hurts so much. And it's also the way it happened. Like, he wouldn't wait, and he made me
just
do it.
Just shoved it in.
Yeah. And I mean, he was, you know, it wasn't like he raped me or anything, but it just, he was my boyfriend, but I wasn't ready. I wasn't mentally, in my mind, I like wanted it, but it's like a gangbang. Like I fantasized about a gangbang my whole life. I'm never going to
do
a gangbang, you know?
Right.
So I was like, I just wasn't ready, and he made me do it. And so then I didn't have sex again until I was like 24.
Wow.
I know.
Wow. Between 16 and 24?
Well, no, I dated him till I was 20.
So oh, yeah, that's right. 16 to 20.
So 20 to 24.
Wow.
Like, well, yeah, 16 to 24. Yeah, right, because I never had sex with him again. Yeah.
Wow.
I know. People think, like, because I'm, like, so dirty and stuff in my comedy, people think I'm this whore. And I have had sex with, like, less than 20 men in my entire life. I'm 41.
Wow. Wow. That's still more than I think other women, you know. Some
really?
Women have had only 3 or 4 or something, if that, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But 20 men is not a lot,
less than 20. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you learn to like it, obviously, after a while,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, well, now I'm dying for it because I can't get it. now that I'm like 41 and, you know, I'm open to it, I can't seem to get it.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure you could find a lot of people if they just knew.
Well, no, they want to. It's just that I don't want to. It needs to be the right person for me.
That's true, yeah. You don't want it to be just anonymous.
You can't do that. I did that in my 20s a little bit. You know, you do that thing. And then, but when you get older, it needs to have some kind of meaning. You need to have a connection with somebody.
It really does, huh?
Yeah, sure.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, I just find it difficult to just hook up with somebody and go on with it and
have
them leave, and then you lay there and you're like, you know what, I could have just eaten a sandwich and watched Silence of the Lambs. I'd feel the same way.
Yeah.
You know? Like, who wants that?
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, well, now, Sam, I know this is going to absolutely devastate you because I know you're just so interested in talking about her sexual history, but I am just dying to know about, like, the voices. Oh. Because I personally am kind of into that. Ever since I watched The Master of Disguise with Dana Harvey,
uh-huh. I never saw that.
I started doing, well, it's just, he changes into all these different people, okay. and they have all these different accents. And I just became obsessed, and I was able to do every single one. And then I kind of started getting into it. So I love doing impersonations.
It's fun,
so
yeah. It's,
yeah.
Yeah.
So, and
really
I, when
cool.
I watched a video you did on YouTube, and I was like, oh my gosh, she is so good. Like, right. What made you start to like want to imitate people?
I literally have been doing it since I could speak. I would
really?
Imitate all my cousins, my aunts and uncles, everybody that came over, and I would watch. I don't know. I just had this weird ability. I would watch a movie for the first time and then be able to like recite it back in character.
Really?
Yeah. My parents were just like, "What is this kid?" and they didn't know. They didn't know what to do with me. Like a, you know, an educated parent, maybe an LA parent, would be like, "Holy shit, we should put this kid into something.
Yeah.
We should like channel her talent into like, you know, something." My parents just let me sit there like eating licorice, doing movie lines on the couch, and I just could always do it. Like my aunt would come over, you know, I had this aunt who was very hyper, and she'd come over for dinner every Sunday, and she'd be like, well, I've got to go home and do my laundry, you know, and I would, when she would leave, I would do that. My father'd be like, don't do that in front of her, you're going to piss her off, you know, so it just, I don't know, I never tried, I never wanted to, it just comes out, and
wow.
I can't even, it's like a disease, I can't even help it.
Really?
Yeah.
It's just you're totally connected to
totally
it.
Connected. I've been
wow.
listening to you this whole time, and I'm waiting to try
yeah.
to do your accent.
Yeah, well, that's not my accent at all.
No, that's
no,
not. See, nobody likes it when you do it to them.
Yeah, but I don't sound like that. Give me a fucking break, you know? I mean, I listen to myself a lot,
mm-hmm.
but at any rate. So we'll get all the voices and stuff. I just kind of want to get to it, you know? So, okay, so you did the porn writing and stuff. After that, what happened?
After that, I moved back to New Jersey, and then I lived with my boyfriend for a while. Then I broke up with him.
Okay.
I moved to a new town. I got the job in corporate America writing for 5 years. And then.
Really? What were you writing there?
Like? I was writing marketing materials for a company that did like prescription drug benefits. So if you have health insurance, your prescription benefit is like the company that I worked for. So
right.
it was boring
okay.
marketing material.
Yeah, boring stuff.
Yeah.
In a yeah.
cubicle. It was like rotting away in a cubicle. And and then the contest happened.
Yeah. So tell us about the contest now. I didn't even realize there was a contest because I saw you recently.
Oh.
So when did this contest happen? This was a Howard Stern contest?
Yeah, this was September 2010. They were having a staff impersonation contest. So you could imitate anybody from the show or anybody associated with the show.
Mm.
So I sent in 6 impressions of some people from the show and Little Lupe, the porn star.
Right.
You know her?
Yeah, I know her. Do her voice.
Of course you know her, baby. I'm sure you've watched her videos many times.
So,
what else did she say?
She
I love my pussy and stuff like that.
Vagina pussy.
Vagina pussy.
I love big boobs. You like big penis? I love big penis.
yeah, this is like a porn star. You know, she's really tiny. And
she looks like she's 14, but she's, you know, she's
yeah.
like 23 now.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was a recent guest on the show, so I was like,
right.
ooh, I'll do her, because
yeah.
she just went on the show. And like,
what a totally fun voice to do, you know what I mean?
So she was like saying, you know, my pussy is like a machine. And she did that prank phone call with Bigfoot,
yeah.
you know, where she's just like, you know, I love penis. And he's like, yeah, you want me to fuck you? And so I taped all his parts, and then I did her parts.
Right.
And then I put it together in an MP3 and I sent that to them.
Wow.
And
so you even did a man's voice, and he's got a deep voice.
No,
too.
I didn't do his voice.
You taped him.
Yeah, I taped
okay.
him.
All
yeah.
right. Okay.
Yeah.
And then you did Lupe.
And then I did her. And yeah, and then if you listen to them both, I was like, oh my god, it really sounds like the same phone call.
It really
you know?
Does, yeah.
So
you did Lupe. Who else did you do?
I did Tracy fucking Millman. You know, Tracy's
yeah.
always calling everybody a douche. That was recent too. That whole like, you know, Grillo, you're
yeah,
a fucking douche. You didn't buy anybody anything. So I sent in that.
Yeah, you see, you have to know the show in order to appreciate that one.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was like, what's his name? The guy's name that. Grillo, right. Steven Grillo or something. He was like an intern there or something. And then he left, right? And
yeah.
then she started working there or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And they always have like a run-in with each other. So she talks just like that. And when Rachel did it, I thought it was her at first, you know? Because, yeah, so she does it exactly like that, and she tells them off all the fucking time.
You know? Well, they play that same thing over and over again, where it's like the whole fight about, you know, you were supposed to come earlier, and I comped you, and you didn't fucking comp anything, Grillo, you're, you know. And then they play it all.
Wow, man. So how is it that you're able to pick up voices like that?
I don't know. No, I have no idea. I wish somebody would tell me.
Really? And you know what's interesting also is because when we hear our voices differently from how people hear us,
yeah,
right? Because we hear it from the inside and people hear us from the outside.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But when you do an impression, how can you know you're doing it the right way? Because you're hearing something else, no?
The only way I know is because you're all telling me. I don't know.
Really?
I mean, yeah. I mean, when I'm asked to do something and I need to, like when sometimes Howard will ask, they'll ask me to record something. And I'll go home and I'll stand in front of the mic and I'll record. And I'm like, I suck. Why do they want? I don't sound anything like this person. Why do they want me to do this? And then I sit down and I play it back in the headphones and I go, holy shit, I sound just
like
them.
Wow. Yeah. You see, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. So they had the contest and stuff. How many girls or people participated in it?
There were 4 men and me. I was the only girl, which I was very proud of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because there's a lot more men on the show.
There's always a lot of men on the show, and I almost didn't do it because I was like, they're never gonna pick a girl. Howard doesn't think girls are funny, and my ex-boyfriend, you know, who I'm still really close with, was like, if you don't do this, you know, he's like, if you don't, you've been waiting for this your whole life because I'm a huge fan. I've always listened to the show. I always wanted to be on there. He's like, if you don't do this, you're gonna regret it. And I, down to the wire, I sent in, you know, the 6 impressions, and then a week later, they're saying my name, and my friends all over the state are texting me, calling me.
You become a star.
It was insane.
Wow.
Yeah. The Facebook page, like all the friends, like thousands of friend requests and emails and marriage proposals. I mean, you name it. Oh, you name it.
Well, that came at the right time for you.
Yeah,
then.
Right. Yeah, it was crazy.
Wow. So now, the contest was in 2010, right?
September 2010, yeah.
Okay, and so you sent it in and they invited you to the show.
Yep.
To do the game and stuff.
I was a finalist, yeah.
Oh, you were a finalist.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, from the people that sent it in and stuff, right. So there were 5-6 people there?
4 guys and me, yeah.
4 guys and you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and were the guys any good? Why don't I remember that contest?
They were good. I don't know. Yeah,
yeah.
Well, the big guy who did Bigfoot, he still goes on from time to time.
Right.
He'll sit in.
He's very good.
Yeah, he's good. And the guy, I mean, if any of those guys beat me, I wouldn't have blinked because they were all great. The one who did Gary the Retard was amazing.
Really?
You don't remember, those guys aren't still on the show. Maybe that's why. And then the guy did John the Stutter. He was incredible. Too.
Yeah.
They were all really good.
Really?
And
yeah, you see, I don't remember that contest, and I listened quite a bit, but that's the thing, is I haven't been listening every day because I don't have the time, and I may have missed it, you know?
Yeah, you must have missed
but,
that one.
Yeah, but then I caught you on the TV show, and I thought, wow. So this TV show that I saw a few months ago, they'd already invited you back a couple
was
times?
Was I sitting next to him, or was
no,
I standing?
No, you were standing.
With
you
Bigfoot,
were standing.
The guy doing Bigfoot, right?
There wasn't Bigfoot there either. You were just alone
just
there. Yeah, you don't remember that?
No, I don't remember.
Maybe there was Bigfoot, but I don't remember that.
Oh.
I just remember you doing Rosie and
wow. Yeah, yeah, I don't know.
Okay, well, never mind.
But I was on there back in March with him, with Jason. Mm-hmm. The two of us stood there doing some things back and forth.
Nice.
Yeah, it
that's
was fun.
Cool. Maybe that's the one I saw.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe that's the one I saw.
Maybe you just could only see me because you didn't even
there you go.
You didn't even see Jason.
I was just fascinated by you. Wow. So now, what other voices do you do other than people on the show there, so people who don't listen can know?
Well, yeah, then there was another. Then they had a celebrity impersonation contest a year later, which I'm guessing you didn't see that one either.
Probably not.
And that's when I went on and I did, you know, Wanda Sykes and Rosie O'Donnell and Whoopi Goldberg and Cher and like and all that stuff. And they let me come back. I didn't win that contest, which is just fine because the exposure was amazing. But you know, I just stood there doing Wanda, telling Howard, you know, you got a crazy motherfucking show here. And they loved it.
I love that one.
It's a really fun one to do. I think it's probably the best one, and it's probably one I could do all day.
Really?
I could just stay in that. For whatever reason, my throat just works with that that register.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I just did a demo for an Aflac commercial in Wanda Sykes' voice. So,
really?
Yeah.
How does that go?
It's like they were they had an idea that maybe the duck would talk like Wanda Sykes.
Oh, okay.
And so they had me come in and do it just as like a, not that I would be her in the commercial, like they would probably use her.
Right.
But they just, I guess they needed to propose it to Affleck, and so they used me. Cause,
right. And how do you choose the voices? I mean, how do you choose, like, Cher, for example?
I've been doing that one since I was a kid.
Like, really?
Well, I used to love singing, you know, here I could turn back time. I walk around the house doing that all the time. And then, you know, Cher's gotten really serious as she's gotten older, and now her face doesn't move, you know? So it's, you know, she used to be like, oh, welcome to the show. I got my little girl here, you know? Oh, and she would have that thing in her voice, and then I don't know, I just it's just when you find somebody that you like who has a great thing about their voice,
right. You know, like Cyndi Lauper, I don't know if you know what she sounds like, but she's got this really like hardcore New York Brooklyn voice, and she's scratchy, and then she could be up here and talk like this and be really crazy and outrageous, and it's like, it's just I don't know, it's just it's like I said, it's a disease. Right. I go on dates with men and I'm doing their voice on the date. I can't even help myself.
Their own voice, right?
They don't like it. I was dating, wow, a German guy and I couldn't stop, and he's like, would you please stop doing that? And I'm like, I can't. Sorry. I'll try. And I would literally have to bite my tongue to not do that.
I would do that all the time with my British accent.
Well, yeah. Oh,
my
right?
God. Oh, my God.
Do it. Give me a little of your British ex, Mia.
See, I talk like this, and it would drive him absolutely nuts. He'd be like, can you please just stop that? That's actually not what I sound like in real life.
Yeah, right. He thinks he didn't sound like that.
I sound nothing like this.
Nothing.
Nothing.
It's good. You sound like, who do you sound like when you do that? Mel B, maybe. You know Mel B from?
Oh, yeah, from Spice Girls.
Spice Girls. She's got that little bit of scratch to your accent.
Wow, so that's cool. Now, so how did you get to Whoopi Goldberg? I mean, how did you pick up that voice?
I don't know if that one's even that good. That one's like good sometimes. I don't know. I hear her talk, and you know, I just try to do it. I can get down there because my mother kind of talks this slow, and she accents her words. She drags them out at the end.
Yeah, she
you
does.
Know what I mean? So it's just like, I don't know. It's more. It's a lot of like mannerisms and just. It's not. It may not be an exact voice match, but I think what I can do for whatever reason is pick up on little nuances of the
right.
way people talk.
And it's not only the voice, but the accent as well. You know, and that's I think what makes the difference. You know, is you pick up the distinct accent that every person has.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, what does it, you know?
Yeah, and I don't know how or why. I wish some auditory, if that's the word, oral expert could explain it to me. A-U-R-A-L, oral expert. Why some people are able to do this. And, you know, because growing up and people be like, oh, my God.
Yeah, it's not hard.
And I'd be like, you can do it.
Just
do it.
Yeah.
They're like, no, I can't. And I was like, well, just try. And I realize now that not everybody can do
right.
it. You know, a lot of people out here in L.A. can do it because all the talent from all the world comes to L.A.
That's true. Yeah.
So it's
and all the beautiful people come here as well.
Yeah,
you know?
Please, don't even get me started on that.
So what made you decide to move to LA?
Okay, so after the first Howard Stern contest, a comedy writer named Jim Shaughnessy saw me, and he was working on a cartoon for Sony Crackle out here, and he needed a voice match for this Filipino girl that he knew a Filipino woman. He wanted her voice in the cartoon, and he needed a voice match for it. Supposedly they auditioned all these people, nobody could voice match it, and I did.
Oh.
And she had this she talked like I want to go to Hollywood and be famous. It was like this Filipino-Spanish weird hybrid accent.
Uh-huh.
So he liked it, so I came out here to do that cartoon. Wound up in a studio with Patrick Warburton, you know, from Seinfeld and The Tick and Family Guy and all that. Doing this cartoon, while I was here, I met some agents, and I always wanted to live in California anyway.
Really?
I always dreamed about living in California.
Really?
I knew I would love it here. I just knew it.
Yeah.
I was just afraid to do it. And
had you been here before
that?
No,
that was my first time. I was 39 years old, first time in L.A.
Yeah, but you knew you wanted to come here.
I knew I wanted to live here. I love the sun, and I love great weather and the beach. And as soon as I got off the plane, and I stayed in Santa Monica, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm living here.
Yeah.
I'm coming back here.
Yeah.
So we did the cartoon. I came back again in July. We promoted it at Comic-Con. We had a panel at Comic-Con.
Ooh,
and I started making plans right after that. And I moved out here in August after that.
Very
Comic-Con.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. And so how do you find L.A.? Is it pretty welcoming for you?
I love it. Yeah, it's been great for me. I mean, you know, the only real challenge has just been, like, the loneliness, leaving all my friends. I have great friends back in New Jersey, like, friends and family, like, other family, not my immediate family.
Yeah.
But, it was a really hard year. I cried a lot, and I just was like, you know, this is going to be tough. What am I doing? And there's still times where I'm like, what am I doing? Yeah. Because when you're in an entertainment business, you don't have a steady paycheck, and it's scary.
That's true.
It's very scary.
Yeah.
And I'm not on an established show right now. You know, I'm not a regular on anything, and it's very tumultuous, and it's scary.
Right. You do have an agent now, though?
I have a voiceover agent. I need a comedy.
I need a comedy manager. So now tell people where they can find you, where they can see your comedy and so forth.
If you go to YouTube, Rachel Butera, you can see me on there. I have a website, rachelbutera.com. I have a Twitter, Rachel A. Butera. I have decent amount of followers on there, almost 6,000 so far.
Not bad. Yeah. And you have a very awesome website. I mean, who designed this?
Andrew York. He's my insurance agent / web designer.
Really? Well, he took his time.
Isn't that cute?
Yeah, this is like a boombox type of a thing.
Yeah.
And you can turn the knobs and all that, you know.
Turn the knobs and then the cassette, because the cassette drops down and then you can play all the demos.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Let me see. I'm going to
really
press.
Cute. It's really
cute. It does. It drops down. Very cool. People should check it out. RachelButera.com. Okay, so we can hear some of the impressions there and stuff.
Yeah,
cool.
The celebrity.
RachelButera.com. And you're also on Twitter and Facebook and stuff.
Yeah, so I'm all over. If you Google me, you find there's like 2-3 pages of me.
Yeah, and you're funny on Facebook and stuff. I mean, I read your stuff
all the
time.
Oh, you do? Thank you.
It's really funny and stuff, you know.
Good.
So this is cool. Now, do you have any other characters that we should hear?
Oh, God. People always ask me that, and I'm just so bad about... I don't know. Give me a name.
Should I give you a name? I'm looking for someone distinct, like Barbara Streisand, maybe. You probably did her, no?
I guess, but it's not that great.
No, it's not that great? Okay. Who's got a good accent? I don't know. Okay, never mind. They'll just come. We're not going to put you on the spot or anything.
I know. I really need to make a list of these things, and I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I used to do Lily Tomlin a lot. I don't. Yeah. She's kind of old school, but...
Yeah, a lot of people don't even know her.
Yeah, I know. Oh, for Christ's sakes, just, you know, put on 9 to 5 and smoke a joint.
Yeah.
I used to like to do that one when I was younger.
So where would you like to see yourself? I mean, do you want to establish yourself in stand-up, in voiceovers, acting? I'd love to
be on a, you know, an animated series, or, you know, do animated voices for movies and stuff like that. That would be awesome. But I always really wanted to have like a Tracy Ullman type show.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if you know her.
I remember her. That's where The Simpsons started.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she used to have, when I was a kid, she had like a show on HBO where she was all these characters and stuff. And I used to sit there being like, I could do all that. I can do all those voices and all those characters. And so I like to do something like that. I'm working on writing with my writing partner an animated show that would be mine, so that I could, you know, direct and actually do my own voices and stuff. And I'm on a Fox cartoon right now. I play Brad's mom on High School USA.
Really?
It's kind of like a hybrid of Debbie the Pet Lady. Do you know Debbie the Pet Lady?
Yes. From Howard Stern? Do her real quick.
So it's just like, you know, it's going to be really loud. You need to back up. Brad, get back here! I need to talk to you right now! You know, so it's kind of like that.
That's exactly how she is. Wow. Well, you know, I mean, you're very talented. I know that you're going to make it big. It's just a matter of time, you know, and just be persistent, keep at it, you know, because you are good. I mean, you know, the thing is that I saw you and right away I said, this woman is really talented.
Thank you.
You know,
I appreciate that.
And so you're marketable, you know, it's just finding the right.
Well, yeah, I've been saying for 2 years I need some sleazy manager to exploit me out here. I'm waiting. I can't believe no one scooped me up and tried to, like, smear me with shitty jobs all over this town. I'll do them. I'll do them, by the way, if anybody's listening. There's no money coming in right now. My mailbox is empty. I need work. I mean, I am on a, you know, I'm on the Fox cartoon, and then there's another one coming out next year called Goal on the Insatiable, also on Fox ADHD, and I do voices on that. And then there's an Adult Swim cartoon coming out next March that I'm doing a ton of voices for, but you know, it's just like, and that's all fantastic. And that's all because those guys are Howard Stern fans. That's how they found me.
That's true. Yeah.
But, you know, it's different than having like a job with a steady paycheck. It's just, you got to hustle. You got to constantly hustle and like find people who are willing to give you a chance and help you and put yourself in front of everybody. It's just a new, different way of life for me. And I'm still adjusting to it. So.
Yeah. But that's the thing is that, you know, be persistent. Now, last thing, the stand up, where can people find you?
I don't have any. I just did one Saturday night at the Westside Comedy Theater. That's the thing. I'm a lazy comic, too. I only do it when people ask me to. Like, I'll do any show anyone asks me to, but I don't go out to the clubs and stand there and say, like, please put me on your. I'm lazy about it. I don't do it. So I don't have any dates coming up right now.
Okay, that's fine. We'll go to your website, check it out.
Yeah.
Rachel, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, guys. This was fun.
Yes, you were a lot of fun for sure. And like I said, you're talented, and I know you're going to do well.
Thank you so much. Of course. Appreciate it.
Thank you for joining us.
Wow, you gave me the whole hour, Jay.
We gave you the whole friggin' hour, you see. All right, Mia, thank you so much.
Thanks
for your impression as well.
Yeah, enjoy that one. Anytime.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam in the Morning with Mia, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you have a question for the show or if you'd like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please send an email along to sam@latalkradio.com. Sam in the Morning with Mia is a production of LA Talk Radio, where we say what we want. Oh,